Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. This is going to have to be one of the shorter editions of Office Hours because I'm on a tight schedule. It cannot overrun. I must be out of here by the very least at about 4:30. So that gives us just about 2.5 hours at a maximum. I am not in my usual setup, so I'm just kind of fumbling around looking for things here. But the story I'm going to focus on today is I'm going to leave the Iran war until my Monday update because basically bugger all has happened since my last Monday update. So I need to have something to talk about. There's been some sort of extension by Trump. I mean, still, as I you go back and watch Monday's video and sleep peacefully in the knowledge that basically nothing's happening. At the moment, at the very least. I mean, that's not to say it won't happen, but I don't know. I get the feeling we're in this kind of holding pattern for a while. I'm not going to talk about Keir Starmer. You can watch my video on Tuesday. It doesn't matter what people say. I don't think he's going anywhere either. So there's no movement on that story. People can say, oh, but Starmer's on the brink. Starmer's about to go. Yeah, I've heard it all before. Let's pretend he does go. So what? Now we've got some other bloke in, you know, some other person with exactly the same positions in his place. You know, David Lammy becomes the prime minister. Is that what you want? Because that's what will happen. what do you guys really want? As I said, all the anti-Starmer stuff is, in my view, slot coded now. So what else is there to talk about? Well, the big story are these revelations about the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC. Incidentally, I have a video somewhere in the archive. I think it's behind the paywall. Let me just ferret out this video. It's called Mutual Benefit. Mutual benefit. Oh gosh, it started auto-playing. It's called Mutual Benefit. How far-right groups, the ADL, SPLC, and law enforcement work together. I tell you what, of all of my videos that have aged well, that one has got to be up there. I'll leave it behind the paywall. There's got to be something for the old channel members to have exclusive access to. But it's kind of nice to get receipts on all of that. In fact, I'm going to tweet that out. When did I make that video? That was when I was arguing with Keith Woods and Joel Davis about how stupid they were being. I'll tweet that out there. On one level, it's kind of interesting to have the receipts for all of this, that actually this is how they operate, that you're not actually paranoid for thinking that there are quote-unquote feds or infiltrators operating in these sorts of organizations and spaces. If you've missed the story, by the way, it is that Kash Patel and as the director of the FBI and the DOJ and the Trump DOJ is now launching a series of indictments against the SPLC for illicitly funding white nationalist groups and other extreme neo-Nazi groups. Okay. And, I do think in general, the advice, oh, it glows, don't touch it, is good advice. And that was the that was back in 2023. I remember why I made that video now. I was like, look, all this stuff with the Yee 2024 stuff, like, just leave it alone. It doesn't look good. I have good instincts for these things. Now, one of the people who was involved in heavily pushing that is in jail. I think he's still in jail. It's like, well, you know, you can kind of listen to me, you can't listen to me. I have a good feel for when something sniffs off. And I have done time and time and time again. Why is it that this happens? It makes perfect sense. If you think about the state as a security state, if you think about the managerial setup as essentially being totalitarian, as I've told you it is before, and you think about the basic elite theory, who says organization says oligarchy? Who says organization says oligarchy? Then if somebody starts to organize, you can bet your bottom dollar that the security state is drawn to that like moth to a flame. Any sort of organization draws the eye of Sauron. And the eye of Sauron then starts to get up to its old tricks. It places informants, it infiltrates, it tries to expose, it sets cats among the pigeons, and it wants to, going right the way back to the 1960s and 70s when they did all this stuff with Malcolm X, counter intel pro playbook. They like to sow division among the dissidents, distrust among the dissidents, so that everybody thinks everybody else is a Fed, therefore making it impossible for those people to work together again. So if you have a look at it from that point of view, the operation that was done to the original quote-unquote alt-right, or the Unite the Right thing that happened in Charlottesville and so on, was actually, from the point of view of power, a swimming success. They did their job. The infiltrations worked. Those networks were disbanded. Those networks are now in disarray. They are not organized. They have not been allowed to organize. So from the pure elite theory point of view, this was a successful operation. So then it's like, well, how come? Well, if that is working for the managerial state, how comes the Trump DOJ and old Cash Patel here are now dismantling all of this, putting it away, so to speak, and exposing it? Why are they exposing this for the world to see? Why are they making such a song and dance about it, and persecuting the SPLC? Why aren't they also doing this to the ADL? You might ask too. And all of these questions and more, I will answer or to the best of my abilities during this stream. But there are, I mean, the fundamental point is that it's very interesting. This whole story is very interesting from the point of view of actual power and how it functions and the deep security state that people told me I was paranoid about. Actually, I wasn't paranoid enough. You weren't being paranoid enough. Like, all the stuff I've been saying for years, all the receipts are there. Okay. So from that point of view, I was vindicated and correct. Okay. So that's one point of interest. Another point of interest for the people who actually know these scenes, who actually remember the figures of alt-right 1.0, is who was the guy who got all the money? Who was the guy who got who was the informant who got the 270K? Right? That's another point of interest for a lot of people. And again, basically, you've got to remember how this actually functions, okay? So of the Unite the Right leaders who went to Charlottesville, everybody will remember Dickie Spencer, of course, because he was on CNN. He was the front man. He was the guy whose face was all over the place. People will remember him, okay? So there's a tendency to think, well, somebody was paid off, therefore it must be Dickie, right? But there were other people there on the ground as well. I mean, all sorts of people were involved in that rally. So there are six, seven, eight different people who it could be. And the reason they haven't named that person is because they actually want this to be the effect. They want it to be like, well, okay, any of these eight people could be it. So we're going to assume that all of these people are inauthentic. Okay. I would say that there's probably a 70 or 80% chance that the guy is, it was actually a man called Jason Kessler. Okay. Why? Because the information that was released was that this was the person who was responsible for logistics and transport. Well, okay. I mean, if you believe that Mike Enoch is arranging the buses, or that, Dickie Arts, like liberal arts degree Spencer, is bothering with logistics, I got a bridge to sell you. It's probably that guy, right? I would say it's 78% that guy. But the fact is, every single one of those people who was involved in that will now be kind of tarred with the brush of this report. And so it will just be an ongoing talking point. And this is a very effective tactic to, you not only expose it, but you basically what they call fed jacket every single person who was involved in any single respect. Okay. Whoever was there, Baked Alaska and blah, 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 all of these other people. So that's another very interesting aspect, because people want to then speculate as to who got the money. But there are other reasons for why this has happened, okay? Other reasons for why this has happened. First, the nature of the leadership of the SPLC actually changed over the past decade or so. It used to be quite aligned, let's say, with a lot of the things that the Trump admin is currently doing. Let's just put it that way. Quite aligned with, permanent deep state US foreign policy, attitude towards certain countries in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. But sometime in the late 2010s, after Charlottesville took place, during the peak woke era, so this is like 2018 sort of time, the leadership of the SPLC was actually taken over by a cohort of proper left radicals, like proper commies. Proper communists, not kind of the Stalinist stripe or of the tanky stripe, but of the, what do they call them, left libertarian or left anarchist stripe. The sorts of people who are very big into Antifa, BLM in 2020. Do you remember they set up that little town, Chaz, right? Do you remember that? That ideology, the Chaz ideology, right? So if you want to put it a different way, they were the quote-unquote woke, the woke, okay? And this group who took over the SPLC, you might say, started being a bit of a pain in the ass for the for power. What does power hate? A rival castle. What does power hate? Newly established bureaucrats. Newly established, people with resources and money and so on, who then start to be a problem to act the actual center of power. And because of this, it was therefore time to cut the wings of the SPLC. And this really greatly exacerbated after October the 7th, when the Southern Poverty Law Center, surprise, surprise, became pretty pro-Palestinian. And this, of course, was then, they were already a pain. Now, intolerable to power. So essentially, it's time to put a bow on the SPLC, take it to the cleaners. And essentially, this is what Kash Patel is doing. He is taking the SPLC, take around the back of the shed, shoot it in the back, right? But you can bet your bottom dollar the ADL won't be going anywhere, or that this sort of thing won't still go on. So that's like the principal reason that it's happening. But there is a second, more irritating MAGA reason that it's happening. There's a MAGA reason for it, okay? And this is what we're going to be focusing on for most of the rest of this stream. The MAGA reason. This is the the thing that would appeal to the Kash Patel or to the Vivek Ramaswamy type of crowd, right? The MAGA faithful, the Fox boomer, all of these sorts of people. What do they get from it? What is the takeaway message that MAGA writ large will take from this? The message they will take from it is, because the SPLC was involved with these kind of gay ops and infiltrations, therefore we can conclude that the entirety of the alt-right, the entirety of what is called white nationalism, that racism in general, and so on and so forth, have been one long psyop, a psyop by the deep state, a psyop by the Biden FBI, a psyop by the SPLC, okay, in order to, facilitate a supply of racism, which was lacking, to justify things like BLM, okay? Now, I'm not going to deny that there is some element of that that was true, right? That i.e. that there was a deficit of racism at some point. But this is not actually what happened. This is not actually why the SPLC was giving money to these people. The SPLC was giving money to these people as part of standard CIA and FBI operating procedure to make it impossible for dissidents to operate, to organize. Okay, this is just standard deep state stuff that it does to any dissident group. Okay. So, but the boomer takeaway, the MAGA takeaway, will be, look, we told you, anybody that is a racist, anybody that is a white nationalist, anybody who speaks like this, anybody who talks about the you-know-whos, blah, 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 all of those sorts of people are feds. We told you, we are actually the true liberals. We are colorblind, okay? We've always told you that MAGA is not racist. We have always told you that our values are the values, the same ones that Vivek Ramaswamy espouses in every single speech. That this racial consciousness, that Jordan Peterson, before he died, bless him, I don't know if Jordan Peterson's dead, he might as well be, Jordan Peterson himself warned us about the racial consciousness of the white, okay? This absolute demon that we have banished to history will not be coming back because the values of Martin Luther King's dream live on in America. This is Martin Luther King's America. The civil rights were not for nothing. And MAGA stands for civil rights if it stands for nothing else. The SPLC, in their, have not only bastardized the legacy of Martin Luther King, but Kash Patel, in his heroism, has exposed the fact that every white nationalist out there is actually an op by the left. The woke right actually was a product of the woke left. That is the reason why MAGA has done this. And in order to show you how conclusively that is why MAGA have done it, we're going to watch a video together by a MAGA influencer. Are you ready, kids? This is going to be fun. By the way, pick up a course at the academic agency. The Trivium is the bestseller. Mega Bundle will get you so many. Foundations of Shakespeare, Foundations of Politics, Foundations of Research. Do them all. Collect them all. Better than Pokemon. All right. So let's watch a MAGA influencer together. Can't wait for this. Can you guess who it is yet? I've bets on which MAGA influencer it is. Let's see if people know which one it is. I'm going to mute myself.
The year 2017, a leather-clad lad with a skin tone of Tilda Swinton said in response to the obvious astroturf at Charlottesville something to the effect of, "This is what happens when the demand for racism exceeds the supply." And, well,
the Southern Poverty Law Center, in a massive sweeping indictment has been charged with allegations of fraud and using the banking system to perpetrate that fraud. I just want to talk about a couple of brief things here. The Southern Poverty Law Center themselves advertise to raise money to dismantle violent extremist groups for a period of at least a decade. They use their donor network to raise money to purportedly dismantle violent extremist groups. However, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, used the money they raised from their donor network to actually pay the leadership of these very groups. The groups, as the general laid out, include the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, Unite to Right, National Alliance, the National Socialist Movement, the Aryan Nation Motorcycle Club, and the National Socialist Party of America, and also the American Front.
Can I just say this is another element of it, which is that they love to kind of do this thing where they mix absolute cartoon level Nazi LARP. You know, it's always things like, oh yeah, they, you know, the motorcycle Hellraiser Aryan Club or whatever it's called. Where it's just like, I mean, these groups might as well just be entirely fed, right? I mean, I don't even know if those groups exist, but they seem to exist like purely to be in reports like this. Okay. They seem to exist purely to be in reports like this. But then they've got this habit of like mixing up stuff like that with, you know, things that were a little bit more mainstream or whatever, but they're all jumbled up together. It's something that you notice, these sorts of outlets do a lot, and it's what Kash Patel has done there. But anyway, let's carry on.
When I made those remarks, I was accused of conspiracy mongering. And while it's true I'm more paranoid than a furry LARPing in the forest on the opening day of hunting season, in this case, the term conspiracy ain't at all applicable. Reality in no way requires an occult cabal of high-back chair enthusiasts orchestrating all and sundry from the shadows. I would forward instead a far less elevated claim. Not conspiracy, but basic political tactics. Analogy time, folks. You're in a war. It's going about as well as the last 25 years of New York Mets baseball. Your army's exhausted, they're undermanned, demoralized, and facing certain extinction. Do you A, quietly await your impending death? B, sneak behind enemy lines and poison them, bitches? Or C, charge at them like Eric Swalwell on an OnlyFans whore? If you chose anything but B, do yourself a favor and never play Command and Conquer. It's not cloak and dagger. It's bait and tackle. I've been banging this drum longer and harder than, well, Swalwell and that OnlyFans whore. But it is not sufficiently appreciated the existential dilemma Democrats faced following 2016 and 2024. And it's time to say this out loud. It was more than mere electoral annihilation. Despite population advantages propping up deep blue burgs in every state across the country and more fraud than Bernie Madoff's MasterCard, the complete collapse of their coalition and a...
I haven't got a fucking clue what he's saying, by the way, but you see, this is where I suspect that these people, all of these people, are going to try to do this maneuver where it's like, well, nobody in MAGA, nobody who supported Trump, MAGA itself as a movement, was entirely not racist, entirely not racially aware. This had no part to play in what happened. Let's not forget that he won the election saying things like the Haitians are eating dogs. Let's not forget that there were the captive dreamers of this world whose literal job it was to try to convince you that, you know, Trump and the Trump admin are kind of secret white nationalists. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth, as I've been saying for a long time. And this is another element of what's happening here, which is that all of those little containment mechanisms that have infiltrated the online right, the BAPSphere, you know, quote unquote, NRX, Nick Land, Yarvin, that whole crew, that whole kind of milieu, the Peter Thiel Thunder, the Thiel network, I guess you put it this way. I have already seen a concerted effort for them to try to use this story to say, look, we're the only ones who are not corrupted. All of these other groups were infiltrated by the SPLC. But we are the real deal. They were the ones who were at, all of those ones are astroturfed, and we're the real deal. And again, if you okay, it's kind of, I mean, you've got to admire sometimes the chutzpah of some of this stuff, because, of course, everybody knows that that whole network is entirely astroturfed. You know, it gets play in the media when it didn't need to. It gets, you know, retweeted by Elon Musk. It gets huge amounts of money and backing from tech billionaires. But they want to be like the last group standing. They want to own, right? They want to own the kind of dissident space online. So they're using this as an opportunity, this SPLC story, as an opportunity to say, well, look, we were the real deal, and all of these other groups, they were feds, basically.
Near total public opinion reversal on every one of their pet issues, from gay marriage to the increasingly murderous Troon Platoon, Dems weren't looking at a loss or even several. They were staring down the double barrel of outright extinction. It's only after you admit this aloud that...
And again, I'm willing to bet that almost nobody on your YouTube feed would be able to point out what I've just pointed out just now. You can count on one hand the people with the political foresight and acumen to be able to point out these plays as they are happening. I'm sure there are some who are calling these plays that I'm, you know, I haven't listened to it yet, but I imagine Joseph Jordan has said something like what I've said. I imagine Devon or a blonde would be able to call these plays. I imagine maybe someone like Kevin Dara maybe would be able to see what I'm saying. But there are very few people who are able to just look past the story to see what's happening. Because the main assumption you have is that the Trump admin is not on the level. With the Trump admin and shysters like Kash Patel, there's always a play. They never do anything that's on the level. There is always a play, and Trump's law is always in effect. Once you see that, you are then able to find the angles of what is actually happening. And what I have described is actually happening. I've noticed that network and the Mark Andreessens and so on have been quick to try to capitalize on the political opportunity that the Trump DOJ has created for them. I can guarantee you that people like James Lindsay will be saying, oh, I told you so. I told you the woke right is a product of the woke left. And it was all an op. And it was all of those people, any all those kind of racists that you see, it was a psyop, and most of them are just feds. So this is the tactic being used, and it's being used basically to try to wrap, you know, not only is it wrapping up the SPLC because they've become a pain in their own right, as I explained at the start, it's also a bit they're trying to use it to wrap up all of those bits of the of the right that have become hostile to MAGA for whatever reason.
The abject desperation connoted by the great fortification of 2020 makes the slightest bit of sense, not to mention the ongoing op we're witnessing at present. Look, to anyone who's been paying attention, the SPLC bankrolling bigotry to undermine the opposition is about as surprising as a Reddit mod who owns a cat. I'd love to finger flip and chair spin here. In fact, fuck you! I was right! Fuck you! I was right! But truth is, I had company.
Can anyone understand what he's saying? I haven't got a fucking clue what he's saying. I can't. Maybe I'm just on a different wavelength. I tell you what, I'm just going to practice mindfulness and meditation while this guy rants. Remember, people, your mind is the sky. Thoughts are merely passing clouds.
And calling this op out. As a regular viewer of the recently departed Scott Adams, that dude had SPLC pinned to the wall like Elijah Schaefer on a 12-year-old boy.
Now, the SPLC has refused to list Antifa as an extremist group. What? Are you kidding me? And the reason I ask is because at one point, I don't know if he's still on there, but at one point, Dr. Ben Carson was on their list.
I mean, the reason that SPLC won't list Antifa as a group is because the main reason for the SPLC existing at the behest of the American government is to be anti-white. So, I mean, it's not difficult. They're literally anti, that their whole raison d'etre is anti-whiteness. That's basically what this is about. But again, this won't be the message that you'll get from MAGA. This won't be the takeaway for Boomer MAGA Dad watching Fox or whoever the hell it is that watches Razor Fist.
If Ben Carson made the threshold, according to them, but Antifa has not. So obviously the SPLC is not a legitimate organization.
Meanwhile, the SPLC has labeled the Turning Point USA organization.
Not Turning Point USA? Oh my goodness. Not Erica Kirk's Turning Point USA. No, how dare they?
A hate group. And they've added them to their hate map. Now, remember how I always tell you that if you know what happened, you might not know anything. But if you know who was involved, well, now you might know something. If your job is to...
Sorry to... Right, and I hate to do this. You'll probably listen to this show. He watches most of my stuff. My buddy, Radical Liberation, right? Stephen Carson. Right? Good friend of the channel for a very, very long time now. Almost a decade at this point. Couldn't help but notice that the SPLC leader, Mark Pollock, right? Mark Pollock kind of looks a bit like Radlib. I'm sorry to say. If Radlib had a little bit more of a different ethnic blood in him, he would look quite a lot like Mark Pollock, I would say. Sorry to say that, Radlib, I really am. But anyway.
Identify ghosts? Are you going to find any ghosts? Of course you will.
It's Mark Pottock, apparently. Pottock. By the way, I keep on forgetting, Scott Adams is no longer with us. So rest in peace, Scott. I actually think that he had a lot of, to be fair, Scott Adams had a lot of insightful material on persuasion and on the two TV screens and so on. His basic framework wasn't a bad one. And he went to places I never thought he would before he died.
Because you get paid for it. If your job is to identify hate groups, are you going to find some new hate groups every year? Or are you going to find all the ones that exist? And then you say, you know, we don't even need any funding for the next year. I don't even know why we have a staff. We found all the hate.
What's that? Marxism's popular as poop shoot cancer thanks to Venezuela, China, and every eighth anthropology major under the yellow sun? Quick! To the cash cannons! Fund the five remaining racists under the yellow sun! Organize them all under a sketchy prick in a peacoat who will mysteriously disappear 10 minutes after Charlottesville pops off, never to be sighted again! Color me skeptical, but I suspected the khaki clan might be an op around the time Patriot Front put the word front in their name!
Yeah, this is another MAGA obsession, Patriot Front. Now, I will note that Patriot Front were not one of the groups listed by the SPLC. And yet, for some reason, on Twitter and so on, Patriot Front of the Lion's Share, they really love, MAGA love this talking point that Patriot Front are a fed up. I mean, who knows? But I find it weird. Why is the attention going on that? They weren't talked about. Focus on the things that were actually talked about. But like I said, the actual reason is because what they want to say is that MAGA is the true inheritor of Martin Luther King's legacy. That MAGA is colorblind, and that all of the white nationalists who existed online or etc. were an op. That's what they want to say, that they were a left-wing attempt to infiltrate and destroy MAGA, but instead MAGA have destroyed them. So that's the narrative that we're kind of going with here.
Pinko commies paying people to be racist? Who knew the solution for socialism's demise was the free market? And talk about inefficient. You're paying to conjure the same spirit of ethnic antipathy the average citizen already cultivates in a single trip to the Department of Motor Vehicles? I actually spent most of my morning at the DMV today. I'm actually recording this rant to remind myself what the English language sounds like. Gavin McInnes also watched his Proud Boys organization slowly go the way of payola, and as such, as an early whistleblower, he knew all about the SPLC shenanigans. Who knew racism pays better than the average Uber gig? Though I guess that is apropos, as groypers are about the only thing more brown than my last Uber driver. I guess I'd have more pay.
So I suppose, I don't know if Fuentes was involved, but I suppose this will also be used then as a stick to beat the groypers with as well. They'll try to find a way of wrapping this into it, folding this into it, I would suggest. What I'm saying is that as interesting as it is for all the reasons that I said at the start, and, you know, yes, it's vindicated some of my previous stuff, you also have to think now of the current political uses of it, of a Trump admin that is currently hell-bent on doing the will of that little country for the Iran war and whatever else, that is declining in the polls, that is struggling in online battles. It will use this, right? All of the podcasters like Razor Fist and so on, they will use it as ammunition against anybody that is now against them, right? Whether it's Tucker Carlson or Fuentes or even down at the level of, you know, some of the people we may know, right, who are on the other side of these sorts of battles. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I can always see these plays coming before they happen. Partly it's because just better ability, right? But also, I'm less in the thick of it. I have more emotional distance from my seat here in the sensible center left. I'm not really caught up in these things, so it's much easier to kind of, you know, have the kind of 10,000 foot view for where you can see, well, how is this? Every single thing that happens has a political use now, right? Whatever happened in 2017 is ancient history. Ancient history. All that, the SPLC actually got a win there because it destroyed the alt-right, okay, using Charlottesville. So the deep state destroyed the alt-right. That actually did happen. But now they're getting the state, if you want, is getting a second use of it all through this DOJ action against the SPLC by exposing all of this. But MAGA will then use it to try to crush its internal rivals, its internal rival castles, its internal dissent, which is basically, you know, any part of quote unquote dissident right, okay, that is not like fully on board or is not part of that gay Thiel network thing or that kind of fake Catholic network that exists, right? There's like a weird Catholic thing, right? J.D. Vance is kind of a part of, like, do you remember J.D.? Like, they all convert to Catholicism, right? And they, you know, that's an op. I mean, we will talk about astroturfing and ops. That thing, I mean, somebody who's closer to it should ever actually have a look. But at some point, you have to be like, well, all of the, like, these are fake AstroTurf propped up groups that are crowding out the right that used to exist, which has been destroyed by all of this, right? And what they're trying to do now is use this to then kind of push all of those other people off the map and occupy the ground fully, right? Which it, and the, what I'm saying is this AstroTurf dissident, right, is fully controlled, fully compliant, you know, doesn't question on foreign policy and various other things. Okay. I see the picture and I see the play. Because I've been watching this stuff for a decade now from a position of serene independence. Never join anything. And you will be able to see all these plays. Okay, let's carry on. Let's just, another 2 minutes of this tedious shithead and then we'll carry on.
Patience for those who doubt the truth of this hypothesis, if it hadn't already been repeatedly proven before and after every major election.
By the way, I'm not saying in any single respect that there aren't sincere Catholics or the Catholicism's bad or anything like that. I'm saying there was a thing. There was some project to make like a kind of Catholic rightoid, I guess. And it was a vector. It has been a vector through which much subversion has taken place. You know, and that is requiring a stream in its own right or a case study in its own right. But I mark my words, there's something there. And parts of it have actually been exposed by the downfall of Viktor Orban and some of the things that he was funding, but also the recent feud with the Pope, between Trump and the Pope, and then the number of these recently converted Catholics who sided with Trump over the Pope, also kind of exposed a little bit that whole Catholic thing was some sort of little op that maybe didn't go anywhere, or it was kind of like a different angle. And Vance was part of it. And, you know, Rod, I'm trying to remember some of the other names, but people closer to that thing who paid more attention to it would probably be able to tell you more. But mark my words, I have got a remarkable sixth sense for these things. Something about that, you know, I feel like Yoram Hazzoni might be involved in some way, right? I mean, maybe someone like Connor Tomlinson, who's actually met these people, would have better insight into it. But I don't know. You'd have to ask people closer to that sphere. But I know that that is AstroTurfed. I just know it. Anyway, let's carry on.
Cycle since 2016. Before and after 2018, the Red Mirage narrative was pushed suspiciously loudly by many of the same black pillars bloviating about a lack of electoral solutions at present. Before and
apparently Jade Dyer knows about this. If anybody knows the stream where he goes over it, where he exposes all of that, you know, I'd love to see it. But yeah, I mean, maybe the work is out there. Maybe at least somebody else has seen this. I wouldn't, you know, Jay is clued in, so maybe he's done the work. I just know, on my spidey senses know, there's something up with that kind of Catholic dissident scene. Maybe even some of our friends got caught up in it a little bit. Like, you know, I'm not going to name any names.
After 2020, enough said. It was even worse, and for obvious reasons. And before and after 2022, we saw an even more severe expression of the self-same syndrome. Even ahead of 2024, many of the same voices now insisting all is lost were either outright endorsing Kamala or prophesying.
There's a guy in the chat who thinks I haven't read Yockey or Oliver's Enemy of My Enemy. Dude, look, I've been around the block, okay? There's nothing I haven't read. I've done streams on Yockey years ago, before you could even read some. But I tune in regularly to the show that you referenced there.
With certitude that we were donezo before even a single ballot was cast. I know because I screenshotted their flagrant attempts to demoralize as they emerged. I still have a master folder stacked to the rafters with your retardation. Some of the same voices who claim we've kicked it all the way back then will brazenly appear in this.
I have read Art of the Deal, actually. I bought it for my mother as a joke, as a Christmas joke one year, because my mother was into Trump at one point. She was like very early on the Trump train and on the Brexit train, actually. My mother, like 10 years ago, was a big Brexiter and a big Trumper. She has since, I don't think she regrets her Brexit vote, but she has since, like, she's definitely off the Trump train, definitely off the Trump train, has been for a while. And because she used to watch the rallies and stuff, I bought her the art of the dig, like just for like a Christmas morning joke, I bought it for her. And on that Christmas morning, because there was just a copy there, I kind of, you know, sat there reading it on Christmas Day. So I have actually read Art of the Deal.
Comment section and push back on the rant I am recording at present, and I see through you like a Victoria's Secret camisole. Circumstances change, but the black-pilled bedwetting is eternal. What are you people on exactly? Apart from welfare, I mean. It's nice to have the confirmation at all, but keep your cash, Southern Poverty Law Center. Some of us tell racist jokes for the love of the game. I'm Razor Fist. Godspeed.
I didn't get a word of it. I didn't understand a word he said. How do people watch that guy? Razor Fist was engaged in some sort of feud with me that literally came and went without my awareness of it. I still don't really know what that was about. And every once in a while, he like rages at me on Twitter, and apparently he made a video that was taken down or whatever. I just have no idea. Mainly because I can't understand a word he's saying. I really can't understand him at all. There are a number of other Americans who just speak too quickly for me to understand. Like, I've never been able to watch Ben Shapiro for the same reason, just 100 miles a minute. And I tell you who else was like that for many years was Fuentes. At some point, Fuentes slowed down. Well, around one time I started, you know, I started watching his stuff again. I remember there was a whole period last year I was making videos about Nick. Partly it was that he'd slowed down. When I heard him whenever anybody would send me clips, I was like, how does anybody listen to this bloody chipmunk? He speaks too fast. So maybe it's just an American thing, but I didn't get a word of it. Didn't understand a word of what he was saying. Completely different. So that was that. Let's have a look how Lotus Eaters covered it. I have not seen this. I don't know who the panel is. I think I saw Josh is on the panel. Let's see how the lads covered this and whether they were able to tease out any of the things I were able to tease out. Doubt it, but let's see.
Hey, gentlemen, we need to talk about the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center. We need to talk about that this afternoon. They're in a spot of bother.
Oh, okay.
It looks like
good news.
They're
one of the most insidious organisations going, really, aren't they?
Have either of you ever noticed that, certainly in the West, in Europe, in America, in Australia, places like that, there's quite a lot of anti-fascist, anti-racist organisations. There's quite a lot of them.
People do call me Nate the Noticer, so
you've noticed.
I've noticed, yeah.
I've noticed too, actually, yeah.
Quite a lot. Like in the UK, of course, there's Hope Not Hate. There's like the Runnymede Trust, Show Racism the Red Card, Stop Hate. This is just the most simplest Google search. There's dozens and dozens more. Stop Hate UK, Liberty, European Network Against Racism, Stand Against Racism and Inequality, The Black Curriculum, Kick It Out. It just goes on and on and on.
It seems like racism is a very lucrative industry.
Look at that. The people in the chat is begging for LBC. Like, come on. How come we're watching these guys now? What happened to LBC? Well, maybe LBC will come back next week.
There's a lot of money to be made from harvesting outrage.
One would think that we're just inundated with an epidemic of racism.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
In America, the same. The NAACP.
You see, I find this kind of a strange talking point because these chaps here are avowed racists. So how does that work? See, this is the issue. The narrative that MAGA have set up, which is literally a narrative that is straight out of like 2015, 2016, the left are the real racists. Actually, we're all kind of colorblind and so on. It's kind of like it doesn't fit the political moment anymore, and yet people are still running with it. But I've watched Bo and Nate's show. They're racist. They're proud of it. So how do they square that then? Unless they're saying that their view is in the vast minority and most people are kind of colorblind MLKers. But if that's the case, how do they expect to get anywhere with? You understand what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of narrative incoherence here, in my opinion, because the kind of Trump Cash Patel DOJ line, you know, belongs to something like from about 10 years ago. So anyway, let's carry on.
TP, Black Lives Matter, Equal Justice Initiative, Race Forward, the Race Justice Program, Advancement Program.
I'm not racist, of course. I'm a hated brown communist, so I'm told every single day. A fat brown communist is what I'm called. Anyway, let's carry on.
Yes, showing up for racial justice, colour of change. No. And there's quite a lot. There's loads of these things. Our society is flooded with them, actually. One of the biggest ones, perhaps, arguably, maybe one of the most prestigious ones, is the Southern Poverty Law Centre.
Not only brown, but third worldist and communist as well. A brown communist. But also, so I'm told, the secret shadow leader of the right wing in Britain as well. I saw one, please don't send me videos that crackpots make. I saw one of me literally like as a kind of puppet master in the shadows, secretly controlling all of these people. You guys have got people have got too much time on their hands. They make up fanfic. Can't win.
And so their thing is just about racial justice, right? They say things like they're all about equal justice, community organizing and outreach, policy advocacy, tracking and reporting on hate and extremism, relegating white supremacy out of the mainstream, lifting up community voices, organising for racial equality, shifting power to black and brown people in the South, racial justice and civil rights, things like, you know.
And in reality, it's just reputation destruction for mainstream right-wing voices, as well as direct anti-white hatred.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, if they want segregation again, just say it.
You don't need all.
Well, that's basically
that
what it
PR
is.
Language
isn't it?
And window dressing.
That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, and they try and do.
What? So they're saying the Southern Poverty Law Centre is kind of. Never mind.
Do the thing for like the people that are credulous. It's not always your fault if you know, it's called someone ignorant or credulous. It's not always their fault. You've not spent time researching something. No one's ever told you something. It's, you know, like I'm ignorant of knitting, for example. I don't know how to knit. I've never tried and no one's ever taught me. So there's no problem with that. So at first blush, right, if you were a bit credulous, you might just think that the Southern Poverty Law Centre is sort of a good thing. Ultimately, that's the way they try and this is the old president and CEO. There's someone new now, but this woman, Margaret Huang. Let's listen to her for a little bit.
It's the mission of SPLC.
Margaret Wong. Okay, let's carry on.
It's thinking about how we fight hate in all of its forms.
Just fighting
it's
hate.
It's thinking about how we bring justice to communities that have faced nothing along those lines. It's about standing up and making this world a better place.
Oh, right, sure.
And the opportunity to do that here is what's so exciting. Arriving at the Southern...
She's weird, isn't she, Margaret? She's like she's kind of like slightly hunchbacked and slightly kind of, I don't know, weird character.
Poverty Law Center is a little bit like a dream.
It just goes on and on. You get the tone and tenor of it from that straight away. It's about making the world a better place.
It's so thinly veiled propaganda. Just like, yeah, we're just fighting hate. And I'm like, well, all hate, really? I don't know about that. Like, if I get bitten by a mosquito and I slap it and say, oh, I hate mosquitoes, is the Southern Poverty Law Center going to come up and say, no, we're fighting you now? You like, no, it's very specifically directed towards people you politically disagree with. You're not fighting hate as an emotion. You're not declaring war on a feeling. You're declaring war on right-wingers specifically.
And white people specifically.
Yeah,
white people.
Yeah, the correct both. Bo made a good. Bo is correct. This is ultimately what the SPLC is about. Is what he just said
in the example of the Southern Poverty Law Center, specifically taking power away from whites and giving it to black and brown people by their own their words. I read out before.
No, they nakedly
shifting power to black and brown people in the South.
Well, I'm sure that would just go just.
And you see, ironically, as I was telling you at the start of this stream, around about 2018 kind of time, they did genuinely kind of give power within the SPLC to these sorts of people who were like committed communists and I guess you'd say like an ethnic rainbow coalition. Who then genuinely did have functional control over the SPLC. And if you have a look at the boards before that point, they tended to be, you know, dominated by, let's just say, one ethnic group in particular. But that kind of changed around about 2018. So in a strange way, they actually internally did what they said. And now look what's happened.
Stellar. Mm-hmm. The outcome of that would just be epic. I bet you anything.
It works so well in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, just basically trying to make America, particularly the South, but America in general, less white. You know, the original sin of being white. I mean, one of their slogans is, when we transform the South, we transform the nation.
What? Sorry, what?
Sounds almost like it's when we from a communist country as well.
When we transform the South, we transform. I mean, you literally don't. You just transform the South, but also what pathetic. Whatever.
So it's simply all about trying to make a better world, reduce the amount of hate in the world.
Mm.
Definitely nothing nefarious.
No.
Definitely not.
Kind of struck me that the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of those things where, like, it's not particularly Southern, really. Kind of like a New York operation, if you ask me. It's not particularly, it's not poverty stricken, it's wealthy. It is literally not legal, it is illegal. And it's not center, it's left. I mean, it should really be called the New York rich illegal left. That's what it should be called. New York rich illegal left, not Southern Poverty Law Center.
That.
Definitely not.
No.
Just a black and brown advocacy movement.
You've got a smiling lady there talking about making the world a better place and reducing hate.
Of course, black and brown advocacy groups, fine. White advocacy groups, evil.
No, don't
white supremacy, that is. Mm.
Yeah, they're relegating white supremacy out of the mainstream.
So in favour of black supremacy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, black supremacy, good. Any sort of in-group preference for whites, evil, must be stamped out and destroyed. Anyway, they definitely don't do anything nefarious and or illegal. Yes, they do.
And welcome back, everyone, here to Live Now from Fox. I'm your host, Mike Page. I want to take you out right now. Live news conference just popping up on our screens. We have Todd Blanche and the FBI Director Kash Patel doing this news conference. Let's listen in.
In total, according to the indictment, between 2014 and 2023, SPLC paid at least $3 million to 8 individuals at least. These individuals were affiliated with the Ku Klux Klan, United Klans of America, National Socialist Movement, Aryan Nations Affiliated Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club, the Nationalist Socialist...
The Sadistic Souls Motorcycle... They're always called something like that, aren't they? It's always like motorcycles, the devil, and like being a Nazi in some way.
Party of America, Nazis, and the American Front.
Ah.
Now, as the...
Just to quickly say, if anyone doesn't know, that's the Attorney General of the United States speaking there.
Huh.
It's not just some random dude. That's the highest lawman in the United States. Sorry.
Is this by chance the fact that the need for racism is quite low? Well, the need for racism outweighs the supply.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
As far as anti-racism organisations go, there's just not enough racists.
See, maybe that was true once upon a time, but I feel like there's quite a lot of racists now. They wouldn't need to manufacture it anymore because lots of people just are racist. But anyway, let's keep on pretending it's 2015 for the purposes of this story.
Are there? There's just not enough of them.
I like the Brilliant. Idea that they want to be angry at something so much that they actively fund it.
Yeah. It exists. To the tune of millions of dollars as well.
Three and a half million to eight people.
Yeah,
that's mental.
And I'll play a bit more of this in a moment. But they're like, make
the guy. Why does that guy persist every single week? I ban him every single week. He's back with his spamming tactics. Every single week.
Like shell companies doing layering, like actual financial crime.
Yeah,
we layer it so it's not really clear where that money went. So
I've missed this gravy train, haven't I? I needed to step up my game, apparently.
Let's listen to the AG and then a bit of Kash Patel. That this gentleman who's about to speak there is the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Indictment lays out after SBLC paid members of these extremist groups. It created work product that reported on these activities that the members participated in or contributed to. And to that end, it was...
Note, by the way, how Trump, DOJ, is going about this. They're not dismantling the SBLC because they're an explicitly anti-white group. They're doing it on this technicality that they didn't report they were going to do these activities in order to do all the stuff I already talked about. Right, because the political ends, right, have the effect of Fed jacketing all of the people who are racist, right-wingers, white nationalists, et cetera, in order to marginalize and sideline them again in the eyes of the bag of boomer. That is the actual political effect of what Trump admin is doing here, right? Notice it's all done within the framework of American civil rights. That, you know, they don't actually have a problem with the fact that the SBLC are anti-white at all. Very important to note this.
Doing the exact opposite of what it's told its donors it was doing. Not dismantling extremism, but funding it. To carry out this scheme, SBLC created bank accounts in the name of at least five completely fictitious organizations that had no bona fide employees or legitimate business purpose.
Just to say, of course, that's completely illegal. So, because one of the questions would be like, well, it's not illegal. If someone at the SPLC, as weird as it is, counterintuitive as it is, if they want to give money to a neo-Nazi organization, what's...
Also, by the way, think of the dual purpose of it. Not only will they use it to, you know... do all the things I said to empower the James Lindsays and the Mark Andreessens and the Thiel networks and the BAPs and so on, you know, against their opponents online. Not only will it do that and that fake Catholic network that I mentioned, but also at the same time, it is red meat as well. Also to those people, they can say, oh, look, actually Trump is taking down the SPLC. So it's a wonderful kind of magic move. This solves all sorts of problems for the permanent deep state, gets rid of the problem that the SPLC has gone a bit rogue since 2018, especially since they've become pro-Palestine. That's a tick in the box. It solves a problem within the MAGA base where You've got all these people who are disappointed by Trump, who tend to be harder right, tend to be racist, tend to be white nationalists, and so on. You get the Fed jacket, all of those, paint them as feds, paint them as marginal figures, etc., while also empowering all the AstroTurf, Thiel Network, etc. And the third tick in the box is that it's a lovely dollop of red meat for everybody as well, because he is actually taking it. So they've managed to do it in the most irritating MAGA way possible, but they are actually taking down the SPLC as well.
It's illegal about that. Well, exactly what I just said there, is that they didn't say they were going to do that. Their donors didn't know that's what they were giving money to, and they created false...
It's three birds with one stone in a triple win for MAGA in a spot where Trump is pretty unpopular. So, yeah.
Sort of accounts and things. So that's the key of it.
Yeah.
And, by the way, when the left, when the Democrats sweep in the midterms, and when we end up with the Democrat president, they set up pretty nice, fertile ground for the Democrats then to go in and take out all the genuine right-wingers using various different tools as well. So maybe even that's a hidden fifth win as well. Fourth win.
That's the actual illegal thing. And they've been indicted by a grand jury. Right, so it's not just that the AG and Kash Patel are just making a statement that, in general, we don't like the SPLC, we're going to investigate them. No.
The guy talking about the points that the guy who keeps on being banned is making, he's not banned for the points he's making. He's banned for spamming the chat. Right? Spamming, acting like a dick is the reason he's banned. Don't tolerate Spurgy. Spurgy, yeah.
Okay. There's been an investigation that's gone on for years, and now they've been indicted by a grand jury.
I would love it if we had Restore Britain gets in power, and they look into Hope Not Hate's dirty secrets in their bank accounts, because it's absolutely unequivocally happening here.
Oh, almost certainly.
See, this is them, in a sense, taking the red meat, seeing the red meat and not seeing the wider play, which is, unfortunately, what I'd expect from Bo and Nate. Nice guys, but they don't always see the wider play, unfortunately. Josh, looking at Josh's face there, he may be thinking at the back of the head, maybe there's a different play here. Maybe I can't say it, but I feel like Josh, the wheels are turning. He smells a rat because he knows what the MAGA's about. But anyway, let's carry on.
How Hope Not Hate hasn't funded us yet. You know, we're accepting donations.
Yeah, come on, guys.
You didn't even really, that radical.
No, but they did, though, because they signed up to the website to watch that Liz Truss interview.
That's true, yeah.
So they did.
And the thing is, you can send them this clip. It doesn't really matter because they'll react angrily. They'll say, they'll call me names. But the fact is, I call plays again and again and again. And everybody else catches up again and again and again. Mark my words, this is literally how I've analyzed this is literally what's happening now.
Technically, actually funded at one point.
And you know their little dossier on us, they're watching, hate watching us all the time, aren't they? So we get a tiny bit of revenue from that.
Off so if you're watching Hope Not Hate, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're a very dedicated listener and we appreciate it.
Yeah. You've got to respect the grind over at Hope Not Hate. So one of the questions, because I won't play all of this, I only want to do the next few minutes of it, but later in the Q&A section after this, someone asks them, like, when did you find out about this? And the AG says...
Guy in the chat saying, why can't we take the red meat while the complex issues at the same time? Because the red meat is not really red meat. It's never really what you think. It's always, I mean, I remember there's that film Sallow, right, where they literally like bring out platters of shit to eat, and at one point one of the libertines puts like nails in the shit, right? It's always that you're given a plate of shit, right? You're told, oh, eat that, you'll enjoy it, and that secretly there's some nails in it as well. That's basically what you're being given all the time. I laid it all out in this stream. Again, I'm not really, I'm beyond the point of caring, really. I am in a kind of very serene state of calm where you can choose to listen to it or not. But, you know, it's not, I mean, even the red meat is shit, really. It's not, you're not really getting a nutritious meal. You're getting nails wrapped in a dollop of shit. That's basically what this is. You're not going to get anything from this Trump admin worth anything.
Well, there's been an investigation. We've had this investigation open for years and years and years.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, before the Biden administration. And he says, but during the Biden administration, it was just turned off. They just turned someone at the DOJ or the FBI just turned it off.
Of course they did.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. And then when Trump got back in, they turned it back on. And now we
have that works.
So that's interesting, isn't it? One data point of note.
It might almost be an extension of the Democratic Party, some might say, if that's the case.
Well, another thing muddies the waters a bit. In the past, the SPLC and the FBI have worked hand in hand, openly, though, as well, both sort of boasting.
Yeah, ADL's still there, though. Nothing's happening to them, so... this story isn't really doing anything other than solving the problems for the state that I've already outlined.
That they're working for a common cause and things. Mm. But now, of course, the FBI are actually truly investigating them. But let's hear a little bit more of this.
The money was passed from SPLC to one sham account to a second sham account and then loaded onto prepaid cards to give to the members of the extremist groups. This was designed to shield the source of those funds. And because of this, SPLC is also charged with one count, as I said earlier, of conspiracy to commit money laundering. In conclusion, I want to thank the acting U.S. attorney in the Middle District of Alabama, Kevin Davidson, who's in his district right now and not able to be with us, for bringing this important case, along with the FBI team in Alabama, for their hard work during this investigation. This investigation is ongoing, and I'd like to ask Director Patel to say a few words as well.
God, we have to listen to Kash Patel now. What happened to the Epstein files then, Kash? Oh, doesn't matter. Eat this turd covering up a bed and nails instead.
So just to be clear, it's wire fraud and money laundering is what it is.
Very serious charges, aren't they?
Pretty, yeah.
The guy saying, I think everybody can see the through the US fakery, even the normie, says the guy in the chat. Can they? How come nobody said it on this stream then? A race fist didn't say it. These guys haven't said it. I said it. I'm not everyone, though. Why wasn't this the immediate takeaway of everybody? So I don't agree.
Yeah, yeah. You know, obviously they're the actual sort of technical legal crimes, but there's also just...
I'm saying the normies will never get it. Razor Fist is not a normie, and these guys aren't normie either. So that's wrong.
Be just acting like scumbags.
If only that's a crime, eh?
Taking money from their donors that think, at least, on that they're fighting sort of right-wing extremes. They're fighting racism and hate.
Literally funneling it towards the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, yeah. The actual National Socialists of America. It ends up in their pocket.
And this stuff has a lot of funding as well. So you can imagine being one of their donors, like watching this going, sorry, what?
Apparently Blonde and Devon saw through it. I haven't. I thought their last stream was about Jordan Peterson, but I was listening to that earlier on, but I haven't finished it yet. Maybe if they talk about it. I'd expect Devon to get it. I'd expect Blonde to get it. I'd expect Eric and Warren to get it. I'd expect there's a few other people who immediately call the play. But I wouldn't expect that many people to get it, to be honest.
To be fair, I saw David Duke on a podcast with a couple of black guys, and he was just like, no, I don't say the N-word.
Apparently Ian Carroll has been good on it. That's interesting.
So, you know, maybe that the money has had some influence there. As I thought, the Ku Klux Klan were sort of dedicated racists. And then I was just like, hang on a minute. What's going on here? But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah, it's not the 1920s anymore.
I mean, I've got to be honest, though. Like, who'd be stupid enough to join the Klan in, like, 2018 or now or something? If you join the Ku Klux Klan now, you know, you're basically walking into an obvious honey trap. An obvious, I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm going to join the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Anymore. We're the good guys now.
Your granddaddy, AKK.
Well, let's hear from Cash.
Thank you, General Blanche. What we're here today is to announce what the general just told you. The Southern Poverty Law Center, in a massive, sweeping indictment, has been charged with allegations of fraud and using the banking system to perpetrate that fraud. I just want to talk about a couple of brief things here. The Southern Poverty Law Center themselves advertise to raise money to dismantle violent extremist groups for a period of at least a decade. They use their donor network to raise money to purportedly dismantle violent extremist groups. However, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, used the money they raised from their donor network to actually pay the leadership of these very groups. I just want to say that again. They used the fraudulently raised money by lying to their donor network, thousands of Americans, to go ahead and actually pay the leadership of these supposed violent extremist groups. The groups, as the general laid out, include the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, Unite to Right, National Alliance, the National Socialist Movement, the Aryan Nation Motorcycle Club, and the National Socialist Party of America, and also the American Front. In at least one of these matters, our investigation revealed that funds were used to facilitate the commission of further state and federal offenses, totaling over $3 million. So, furthermore,
it's absolutely standard FBI stuff, though. It's just standard FBI playbook. So you've got to be like, well, what's the angle? Why are they doing this? Think about it.
There is something I want to add here, that there is a legitimate purpose here for them to do this sort of thing, in that if they fund the leadership, then they effectively have some control and influence over groups that would otherwise not care about what they would have to say. And also it allows them to entrap other people within those groups, like people who are legitimate that aren't compromised, and have a better bearing of who these people are and how they're connected to things. And so they are actually legitimately trying to catch people out. It's not just that they've, you know, all of a sudden decided to switch sides.
Mm.
No, it's right, just that they're using very insidious tactics to do so.
Okay. You make a fair point, but they've done it in a completely illegal way.
Of course, yes.
So,
I'm not defending them, to be clear. No, I know. Just explaining the rationale.
Yeah, yeah. No, there is a rationale there. But they've done it in an illegal way, not just with, like, the layering, the financial layering of it.
I wouldn't be surprised if the charges don't stick. Wouldn't be surprised, because it's Trump. Never sees anything through. Everything's a stratagem. I bet you this is just a news cycle story. I'd be interested to see if anybody actually goes down for this. We'll see.
Which is illegal, but also that as a non-profit or an NGO or whatever it is, you can't, if you're going to do that, you have to tell people you're going to do that. If you're taking money off people in America, anyway, if you take money off people, you have to say that you plan, or you might plan to spend it in that way. But they never said that to anyone. And that's illegal as well.
It's an assumed rationale, isn't it? That's nothing which has been explicitly stated. I mean, if the US is anything like the UK, again, the demand for racism far outweighs the supply.
Well, I also think that these groups are only in a...
I don't understand the point of Nate using that line now in 2026, when his whole gimmick, if you want to put it that way, is I'm an ethno-nationalist. What's the point of using that line from an ethno-nationalist frame? Makes no sense at all. It makes sense from Razorfist's point of view, as a MAGA kind of MAGA-tard. But Nate's whole thing is like, I'm an ethno, I am racist. So it doesn't actually benefit you to make that point. at all.
Existence, because they can have exemption from, particularly in the UK, I know, exemption from taxation by having charitable status. And they can only really exist because of that. Whereas I don't think any political group should be considered a charity because it's got an agenda that is not charitable in nature.
Yeah.
Plus the other thing that, Mr. Patel just said just then was that some of the organisations that they sent money to then went on to commit crimes.
Mm.
And so then you're sort of an accomplice in some way, on some level. Or
What's that phrase? You live long enough to become the thing you hate.
Right. Yeah. So I have a few more seconds of cash and then I'll go over to what the SPLC themselves have said, because their current president and CEO made a statement, but let's just finish here.
Our investigation revealed that the Southern Poverty Law Center, on top of perpetuating this...
Can't wait to see the current SPLC president. Margaret Wang was bad enough.
Widespread, decade-long, multi-million dollar fraud conducted more criminal activity. They attempted to hide their criminal activity from our financial banking network. They set up shell companies and entities around America so that the financial institutions that we rely on as everyday Americans were deceived in believing that money was not coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center in the perpetration of this scheme and fraud, but rather fictitious entities they stood up to perpetuate this ongoing fraud. This is a serious and egregious violation of a group that purported to dismantle violent extremist groups, but in turn actually only fueled the hatred. This is an important case brought by the president, by President Trump's administration. We're thankful for the president.
Okay. So, all right, it's sort of, that's happened. That seems to have happened. Here's a bit of a breakdown on Twitter. Some of the monies
imagine they
gave.
Imagine probably their biggest donor by that point with those sums of money. Like,
right. Yeah.
Unite the right.
They did say that this money only went to eight individuals, or at least eight individuals. Seems quite a lot of money to go to like one person, doesn't it?
That's interesting. Okay.
Okay. So, okay. So it's a grand jury in Alabama, which I think is where the SPLC is, sort of their headquarters is. But obviously it's much more than just a state thing. If you've got the AG and the director of the FBI, it's not just like...
It's all across America, isn't it?
Yeah.
And beyond it, to be honest.
Quite possibly, yeah. So I thought maybe we could just go straight to themselves. So this man is called what?
I'm actually looking forward to this. Can't wait to see what this dude is like.
Brian Fair, and he's the acting or interim president and CEO of the SPLC. And he's come out in the last day and made a short statement about, relatively short statement about it. So should we hear from him, give him the right of reply? Okay.
For 55 years, the Southern Poverty Law Center has stood as a beacon of hope, fighting white supremacy and various forms of injustice to create a multiracial democracy where we can all live and thrive. We are therefore unsurprised to be the latest organization targeted by this administration.
So yeah, straight into partisan slop from the SPLC guy. Straight into partisan slop. Trump is doing this because, you know, he's a white supremacist, basically, is his angle.
Being unfairly targeted. Being unfairly persecuted for just...
You see, if you study the issue as I showed it, from a certain point of view, it gives the appearance that Trump has done something very quote-unquote pro-white. But actually, the sum total of the actions of doing all of this, if you really think about what he's doing, ends up back in an anti-white frame. While also having the benefit of increasing left-right partisanship along these sorts of lines. Very interesting in a way. It's containment for you. But apparently everybody can see through it, so there's no point in me saying these things.
Just being so good.
Mm-hmm.
Just the evil Drumpf. Evil Donald Drumpf is just trying to destroy them.
Worse ones.
For no reason.
They have made no secret of who they want to protect and who they want to destroy. For example, in October, FBI Director Kash Patel announced the Bureau would sever its ties with the SPLC. And in December, House Republicans held a hearing to accuse us of being partisan and profitable.
Well, that was probably
telling you it's because of their stance on Palestine. That's why none of this stuff is happening to the ADL or any of these other organizations. And this is the pretext under which it's being done. You can listen to Kash Patel in interview after interview saying that everything he does, that more should be done for that one country. We don't pledge fealty enough. And you will think that everything I've said on this stream, many of you will think, well, that's outrageous, going too far, AA. But look, just have a look. I mean, I haven't even looked. My Twitter timeline is cleansed and is just full of old video games and nostalgia. Okay, I am now at the level where I don't even need to look. But I can guarantee you what I've told you in this stream is happening up and down your timeline right now. That is the dominant narrative that will be taken away from it all. Everything that is done for the benefit of the current power.
Good idea they cut ties with you, as they were investigating you, mate.
Yeah.
So it's probably a good thing for them.
It's also a weird thing to argue when they were funding actual neo-Nazi groups at the same time that the administration that's launched the has pushed the investigation again into them is probably at its closest to the nation of Israel. These two things tend not to be compatible with one another.
Well, that's the other thing, just a side note perhaps, slightly, that the SPLC is obviously about racism against black people in the South, but it's been highly co-opted by sort of the anti-Semitism angle
does he address the situation at all in this? Listening to this. I still haven't actually heard a rebuttal yet.
Yeah, okay, let's hear.
Latest threat is the most serious. A criminal investigation and possible charges against the SPLC or some of our employees. Although we don't know all the details, the focus appears to be on the SPLC's prior use of paid confidential informants to gather credible intelligence on extremely violent groups. This use of informants was necessary because we are no stranger to threats of violence.
What? Oh, so you were engaged in a self-directed, like, domestic espionage program of using agent provocateurs on the right. Oh, so you were doing that.
You definitely did actually pay people. Brilliant.
So because they allegedly got threats of violence, it allows them to break the law, financial laws as well. Like, the law in a completely different area. It's not like, you know, someone's threatening you with violence, so you assault them, where there's sort of justifiable...
Of course, that's the next thing that they'll say. That's the next thing, is that anti-Semitism in itself, the increase of anti-Semitism in America... in itself is a psyop funded by the SPLC and similar organizations. That the true blue MAGA not only is a proper colorblind MLK style, egalitarian on racial grounds, but is also a best friend to Israel. That's the next bit of the narrative.
Circumstances around it. We set up a series of shell companies and funneled money to people we allegedly opposed. Those don't follow from one another, funnily enough.
It doesn't address the shell company side of it, which are the...
You know, my favourite type of commenter is the guy in the chat now, Stephen, right? Saying AA is still plugged into the Matrix. Promethean Action is where the real news is at. There's always a guy who claims to see more clearly, claims to be even more switched on. Always that guy. Today it's you, Stephen. You're blessed. If you see more clearly than me, you are blessed, Stephen. and people should be watching you and not me.
The actual charges of like wire fraud and what was the other one? Anyway, he doesn't address that, but he does admit there, as far as I can tell, that it was a multi-million pound agent provocateur program.
It was okay because they've got threats of violence.
In 1983, our offices were firebombed.
I would love to say, and I don't know, because my Twitter feed is just full of, nostalgia slop, and that has deliberately been engineered by me. But I would love to say that the things I've said on this stream have been called by some of my old friends. I'd love to say that some of my old American associates could see straight through this as I can. I don't know, because I'm not watching. I'm deliberately not watching anymore. You know, I want to have a clean, non-political Twitter feed so that I am unblemished by the quote-unquote discourse. But I would love to think that there are more than the people I've been able to name, people who used to come on this channel that, you know, have got enough about them to see the things that I've pointed out. I don't know for sure. I'm sure some of them will. I'm sure some of them will be able to see it, but we will see. Pete will see it. Pete Q will see it straight away. But maybe some of the others will too. Let's give them some credit. Let's be hopeful. Let's be hopeful. It doesn't cost us anything.
And in the years since, there have been countless credible threats against our staff. For decades, we engaged in unprecedented litigation to dismantle the Klan and other hate groups. In light of that work, we sought to protect the safety of our staff and the public. We frequently shared what we learned from informants with local and federal law enforcement, including the FBI. We did not, however, share our use of informants broadly with anyone to protect the identity and safety of the informants and their families.
All right, that's enough of this. Let's do some super chats. Guy in the chat asking why I fell out with Prude and others, because Prude and Closington and various other traitors decided to side with Captive Dreamer against yours truly. And for me, disloyalty of any sort means you're dead to me for life. And I've never been any different, never will be any different. Yeah, there's just no way back. And I've always been like that. Doesn't matter what it is, no way back. And for them, they've made their bed and they have to lie in it forever. That's as far as I hope they're getting a lot of mileage out of following Captive Dreamer. That was, they did that. They didn't have to do it. It was their choice. Okay. So let us have a look now at some super chats. Then we'll do the super thanks and we'll get out of here. We will have a look. Paulie says, I truly hate MAGA now. Good, Paulie. Best sort of super chat. He says, regurgitating leftist framing, violent extremists, where these groups were not violent, and repeating extremist explicitly frames white identity or group solidarity as extreme, is simply gay race communism, but doing the speed limit. Well, you said it poorly. Coney says, my pet theory on Razor Fist is he got into money troubles and had to become a 7K influencer shill. He wasn't always such a raging warmonger. I stopped watching him years ago, mostly after January the 6th. Possible. Possible. I can't really comment because, as we saw, I don't understand a bloody word he says. So, you know, he might as well have been speaking Swahili as far as I'm concerned. Goni says, any Labour and Conservative MPs who are members of Labour Friends of Israel or Conservative Friends of Israel, respectively, need to be constantly asked, why are they still members of those organisations, especially Starmer? Make it taboo. That's a very good point, Coney, and I wish more journalists would do that, but they do not. They do not do that. It is not made a taboo. It is explicitly not asked. Maybe it should be. Coney says, I saw some clips of a woman called Catherine Liu being interviewed by the Institute of Art and Ideas, posted by Bazillion Thought. She's definitely one of the most intelligent and self-reflective people on the left and is worth checking out. So that's Catherine Liu, Bazillion Thought, posted that. Drongo says, the Evola... it's obviously a little picture of Evola, right? Watching of office hours. Okay, the secret of watching office hours is that it is the cigar stream, says Drongo. Not really. It features me, so therefore it will have some, you know, reasonably highbrow theoretical content. But Cigar Stream was more big ideas, more kind of books focused than Office Hours does tend to follow the news to some extent. And also, is a show explicitly about answering super chats and super thanks that come in over the course of the week. It's an office hours. It's a chance to check in with the prof, basically. Like I used to do office hours at work. I actually hated doing office hours. You'd have to sit there for 2 hours and then various students would come in. The absolute worst is when they'd start like crying in my office. I even said to one once, I said, look, I can help you with your grammar or your work, but might want to go next door for the crying part because I'm just not cut out for it. I wish I was making that up. I'm not. Okay, let's carry on. Drongo said, Frogs in the Chat by Big Snacks, Chad. C123. Nathan's saying, imagine AA giving pastoral care. In bizarrely, I remember them coming the end of one term and saying, actually, you're really good at pastoral care. Right? A group of girls came and they said, oh, actually, to be honest, you're one of the best doing this. And we're surprised. And I said, honestly, I'm surprised too. Haven't you met me? So that happened as well. God. I'm trying to remember what that was all about now. I can't really go into it. It's confidential what was discussed, obviously. But all right, so let's carry on. I seem to remember I had a list of things like you have to refer them to various different services and so on. Okay. Right, let's carry on. C123 says, "Hail, Comrade Starmer! Hail our people! Hail victory!" Yeah, I'm kind of rooting for Starmer to stay. I want him to cling on. It just pisses off everybody. Kind of enjoy it. Notice the left hate him, as everybody hates him. It's kind of fun watching him defy all odds and just carry on. Kind of, I don't know what you call it. Like, he's like such an underdog at this point. I don't know. I also just love the sheer effrontery of Starmer, like in the middle of all of this. Yeah, I'm going to prorogue Parliament. I'm going to prorogue Parliament until after the King's speech. Just the sheer balls to do that in the middle of all of this. Amazing. Kind of into Starmer, to be honest. You're not a true heel fan until you. I mean, remember, I was the kid who stayed up to watch Royal Rumble 1994 mainly because I was rooting for IRS Erwin R. Scheister to win the Intercontinental title against Razor Ramon. So of course I'm going to be a heel fan and support Starmer in his hour of need. Everybody hates him. Perfect heel. perfect deal. I should say that in the January of 1994, nobody, and I mean nobody, was watching wrestling. That's how you know when you're a true fan, because all your mates who are watching wrestling a year ago or 2 years ago won't be seen dead with it, and yet you're still secretly watching. That was me in January 1994. And I'm not ashamed. I'm proud of it. I own it. Okay, let's carry on. Reese Harrison says, I just finished reading your Substack. Good stuff. Oh, you're talking about my recent article, no doubt, where I kind of went back and looked at predictions made by me and predictions made by Charles Haywood and others in 2024, and basically said, like, elite theory has been vindicated and sloppulism and the sloppulist frame has been entirely defeated. Yes, I would recommend reading that if you haven't read it. Jacob Blow says, all of the resignation discourse that surrounds Keir Starmer always holds the assumption that Starmer has the capacity to have shame. Yeah, he's not going to go, look, the man is a robot. He's not going to, they'll have to drag him out. I don't know what they'll have to do to him. Or, I mean, there are circumstances in which he might go, which is if the left of the party, the Labour soft left, decide enough is enough, he's become a liability to us all. But the thing is that Starmer's got leverage on them because he could just call a snap election and they'll all get wiped out. So you see, the Starmbot, he's gamed it. Starmbot's gamed all this out. He's gamed all this out. Unoriginal username says, happy St. George's Day to UAA and everyone in the chat. God bless you all and God save England. So there you go. Chris Primer says, serve me slop now. Well, I hope you had your weekly dose cure. Fran Sustick says, so was Richard Spencer on the SBLC payroll? I honestly think that the guy who was the 270K Unite the Right leader was probably a man called Jason Kessler. I haven't seen any evidence against that, and I don't think they're going to release the name either unless it goes to court. So we will see. A lot of people think that Spencer was an informant. Personally, I think he has suffered personally, right? Suffered personally, taken to court and gone through the ringer. Would that have happened to him if he was an informant? I don't know about that. So anyway, but that's the whole point. See, that's the whole point of doing this, so that these questions come back up, so that there's that permanent suspicion of all of these people forever. Basically, that's what they call Fed. That's what they call Fed jacketing. So there we are. I will say that I don't like what I saw a recent take of Richards that I didn't like, which was that in the battle between Laura Loomer and Tucker Carlson, he takes Laura Loomer's side. That is a weird take of Dickie's, and I don't get it. I know he hates Tucker Carlson, but come on, man. I don't get that one. I mean, maybe he was being like taking his contrarianism to an extreme, but I told him that we don't agree on the Tucker deal. I think people have to stop purity spiraling on Tucker, to be honest. You're never going to get him to go to where you want him to go. Because he's got a specific outcome that he's looking for. And to be honest, I think he's played it correctly. I think he's played it right to date. But one of the things I want to do is review his conversation, Tucker's, with Buckley Carlson. I'll see if I've got time to do that next week. I still don't really understand the anti-Tucker angle from, you know, there's a whole network of guys, Dickie Spencer, that guy Adam Green, no, not new, like Fuentes to some extent, who they want to go out of their way to also like be down on Tucker and people like Candice Owens and who else is there? You know, that Ian Carroll guy and who else is there? Alex Jones, I noticed, was one of the names. It was when Trump kind of had a go at all those podcasters and all of those people kind of like weirdly came out like counterintuitively on side with Trump. I don't really understand those dynamics. Something's going on there. But I just don't like, the thing is, Tucker is never going to be as pure on that issue as so many of those other guys are, or he's never going to go down the route that you want. So I don't know. I just find it odd because he's directionally moving in the right way. But, you know, I've just kind of noticed that all that network end up on the same, like they end up on the same page in a way as Laura Loomer. That's weird. They shouldn't do that, in my view. I think they should let Tucker do his thing and stop counter signaling him. That's what I think. Anyway, let's carry on. Let's carry on. Not so much in conclusions of Laura Loomer, but in terms of like who are the Zio Network fighting this week, right? And the Zio Network in the week of Trump issuing that tweet where he called Alex Jones a low IQ loser and all of that stuff, that whole network just magically ended up saying, Trump is right. These guys are low IQ losers type thing. And I was like, well, why are you doing that? That's weird. That's a weird place to end up. What, just because Tucker's not going to give you like, you know, the true esoteric meaning of Judaism, or he's not going to kind of go all in two-footed like you guys want to do. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I've been wary of that for some time, for about 6 months, I would say. And I remain of the view that you want to hope that Tucker's CIA. You want to hope that it's an op. I hope it's an op. That's my number one cope. Because otherwise, America's buggered. Okay, let's carry on. Let's carry on. For whatever reason, those guys, all that kind of network, don't see it the same way as me, and they love to bash on Tucker. Makes no sense. Franustic says, "Hey, what happened to Pete Canones? His channel is gone." As far as I saw, Pete lost his channel owing to copyright violation. Because of reading, I think it was because of reading Solzhenitsyn. He'd done that whole series reading a Solzhenitsyn book, and the publisher of that book struck the channel over copyright. That's why. Okay. $11 Cheese says, Gavin McInnes tweeted that only two of the 15 SBLB board members, or you know whose, in order to demonstrate that they don't run it. But given their demise, did he not inadvertently make the opposite point? Well, that's what I was pointing to at the start of the stream, is that if you'd done a count, let's say in 2015 or 2016, I think it would have been more than half were at that point. But there was a kind of internal circulation of elites within the SBLC. The SBLC had new leadership from I would say about 2018 or so. And yeah, because of that, you know, they went in a different direction. And as I said, they took a pro-Palestine line after 10/7, and you know, Trump's law is Trump's law. So yeah, it's easy. If it's easy when you know where to look. $11 cheese. Chris Brimer says, the day he bought on Sebastian Gorka, I unsubbed. Ryan says, with Protestantism being a weak to the woke, I wonder if the Catholic Network is an attempt to co-opt or head off those seeking stronger faith organizations. Pete is still going, by the way. I've never listened to... I always listen to Pete on Substack. He comes up on my Substack feed, so maybe subscribe to Pete over there. I don't think YouTube was ever Pete's main thing. I think he was more of a podcast guy and a Substack, and I think he does Rumble. So, yeah, he wasn't that devastated by it. I think he was kind of expecting it. So, yeah. Notable, though, that it was for copyright and it wasn't for anything else. So, I mean, maybe it was just an excuse that they used. But, yeah, Pete's still out there doing his stuff. Yeah, it's the Catholic thing I need to look into more. At the moment, I have nothing more than Spidey sense. And my Spidey senses are powerful, but I don't know. I need to actually know detail. If somebody could direct me to that Jay Dyer stream, maybe I'll watch that. Maybe I'll watch that to get more of a read on it. Saxon Ranger says, I don't mean to imply you need to read them like an arsehole. Happy to hear a response. Respect and appreciate what you do. Take care. Yeah, no worries, Saxon Ranger. I was I can be a little bit kind of tetchy and snarky on these streams. I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to like tone that down. To not be angry. To be nice and calm. I'm trying. To become AA the white, not AA the gray. Where I'm more like Zen-like. I'm trying. But I'm easily irritated by posts in the live chat. Soon I will make steps to try to remedy that. Maybe I'll need some sort of process. Your mind is the sky. The thoughts are only clouds. Okay? So thanks for the super chat and apologies for my snark, Saxon Ranger. Jamie Smith says, Bo and Nate always remind me of Richie and Eddie out of the sitcom Bottom. is that because Bo is bald and Eddie out of Bottom was bald? I can kind of imagine those two hitting each other on the head with pans now that you mention it, but... Aldor Banner has given 5 memberships. That's very kind of him. No, I'm not Grim from the Red Hood said. If you're an optimist, learn Cyrillic. He also says they made a skin of you in COD Black Ops 7. What are you talking about? Is that a game? That must be. They made a skin of me in Call of Duty Black Ops 7. All right. Okay. Show it to me then. Cringe Walker says, I'm personally convinced that Adam Green and the Spencer crew are tangentially Zion, but I don't understand how. I mean, that take from Spencer that he sides with Loomer over Tucker is weird. I don't like that. And the way they end up having the same enemies as the Zios on any given week is weird, in my opinion. So that is, I question that. And Funtamari says, Dyer talks a lot about the fake and gay Caths. Please have him on at some point. Rather than actually have to go through the rigmarole as talking to Jay, I've got nothing against the guy. I just don't want to talk to him. show me the stream where he lays it out. That's what I'd love. I'd love to just see the stream where he lays out the fake and gay Catholic network. Okay. Prickly you are at times. Well, I'm trying not to be prickly. I'm trying to like be prickle. But it's going to be a pro. You're going to have to help me, chat, by being less annoying. You're going to have to help me. You have to, maybe there'll be a signal. You'd be like, AA, I sense your irritation rising. Maybe counter cloud or something. You know, the missus has been away this week. I've had a lot of peace and quiet. Kid is in school. I've had the place to myself. Being able to get in touch with mindfulness and meditation once more. Hopefully I can carry it on into next week, but you're going to have to help me. Okay. You have to help me. All right. What else? Okay. So let us have a look then at some super thanks. And then we're going to have to get out of here. I said I got a hard stop at 4:30. So let's have a look. How do I do this? Oh, here we are. From Super Thanks. Let's have a look. From last week's office hours, on a separate issue, AA, and not to sound too schizo, but what is happening makes no sense at this point. Foundations of logic available at the academic agency, etc., regarding the Iran war. Currently, we have no fighting and the strait remains closed. They both seem content, Iran and the US, to sit there suffocating the global energy supply. Well, it makes no sense from my perspective. What makes no sense from my perspective is that Iran had the upper hand. They had forced the US into a stalemate, into a position where they could not escape. Iran had effectively depleted the Israelis' interceptors and were now landing at will. There was only one clear winner. Yeah, I agree. I still don't know why they agreed to the ceasefire. I just don't. If we are to believe the current narrative, why did they stop? Why did they stop? Why haven't they restarted their campaign against Israel? I don't know. Why would they allow a pause in the action that would only favor Israel and the US to rearm? I don't know. This is where it's starting to smell a bit fishy to me. A logical outcome of this is to continue, and it looks like it will, our significant fuel shortages, which leads to reduced supply of everything we take for granted. The government, we are already seeding the public consciousness with warnings of potential rationing in the coming weeks. Yeah, but the BBC issued a report saying there have been no shortages whatsoever, and that none are foreseen, so that didn't materialize either. Ask yourself, how will that be implemented? Digital rationing is surely the answer. It's the only logical answer. And once in place, it will be incredibly difficult to reverse. Is this situation now being used to secure the next phase of Agenda 2030? I love your channel, AA. Keep up the good work. I don't know. The answer, Dan, is that I don't know. It remains to be seen. But as far as I can see, the situation as things stand are actually quite stable. Yes, there's been a slight increase in the price of oil, but it's only 7%. From the start of the war, it's more than that. But it's not that much more. It's not like a mess. We're still nowhere near the impact on petrol prices that the Ukraine war had, for example. I remember it under Rishi Sunak, we were up to 181 here per litre, 181, 182. So far, I've not seen it go past 159 here. And in fact, last time I filled up, it was down to 151. So it's actually come down a little bit. So yeah, at the moment, I don't see it, but maybe you're right. C123 says, a concerning amount of right deviationism in the first part of this one. That was Deepest Law 28, Propaganda Part 5, World War II German. Quite glad you have all moved on beyond such silly things. Well, that's a very old stream, C123, so that's probably why. Stelio says, sorry to get a bit school of schizo. on Tucker Carlson dismantles BBC Stooge. That was a video from last week. But 2 to 3 days after the BBC has that amazing Tucker Carlson, an announcement was made of 2,000 staff cuts planned. Reckon there's a connection? Is this a form of punishment? No, I don't think that was connected to the Tucker appearance. Although it is connected in a sense, because the guy who's taken over at the BBC, the guy who used to work for Google, Matt Britton, I think his name is a big Zio. So that is a change. That is currently, they were currently trying to like take over the BBC, which has been perceived to be too pro-Palestinian. That's a big talking point on the Zio right in this country. Willie McCannon says, what do you think of the doctor's plot of the early 50s Soviet Union? Is there any truth to it? Yeah, they probably killed him. They probably killed Stalin. Yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think there's probably something to it. C123 says, I miss this sort of content. Streams utterly inimical to the plebeian truck masses. That's Deepest Law 19, the changing domestic interiors of home. Okay. Rock the Croc says, why is it that, as this is on the dark truth about Spielberg's movies revealed, one of the most viewed videos ever on this channel, actually, that one. Don't know how many views has that one got? Remember, it got a couple of hundred thousand, that one. But anyway, what is the super chat? The super thanks, I should say. Rock the Croc says, why is it that they push us to believe that the Grail is not for you? I have some ideas, but I'm not too sure. It surely goes beyond power and control. Us as a rung in the global caste system, or a fear of the repeat of mid-century happenings. What is it that they don't don't have that we do? Is there a jealousy and a wish to harness that which is metaphysically innate to us? A large question for the amount I have paid. I realize and apologize. The exchange rate is so bad right now, and things are tight. I will be buying your course as soon as I am financially able to. That's a big question that you've asked there, Rock the Croc, and I'm not sure if I've got the answer. But there is this view that is persistent among these people that they are in a way there to guide us. That it's their role to guide us as your betters, in a way. That without their guidance, without their careful guiding hand, you know, things will turn to shit. And I think this is a deeply held belief that is glimpsed in their own messaging. For example, when they say, if Israel falls, the West will fall. Or if they say, when they say, as soon as you turn against them, that's the end of your civilization, right? This sort of view, because in a way, the esoteric meaning of, you know, atrocities that have happened to them in the past, the esoteric meaning is simply they've turned against the guiding hand. They're not listening anymore. So in a sense, the Grail could be seen in that way. Although for the actual deeper meaning, you'd have to go and listen to somebody like Adam Green, or, you know, read Evola or something to truly understand what's going on there. But that's kind of the best answer I can give you. Let's carry on. Jamie Smith says, the Starmer must go line is ultimate slop. Every other day there's someone saying this, and it's so annoying. This is on my Starmer won't go. Starmer's not going anywhere. And if people want to destroy the Labour Party for good, keep Starmer in till 29. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I agree. I think the Starmer must go stuff is slop. You can watch that video for why. Alphonse rides again on Tucker Carlson controversy proves the right is a write-off. A video that has proved controversial, but I don't care. I expected it to be for all the reasons that I said in that video. And I, honestly, if you don't get it, I don't really want, I just don't care. I mean, it's like, do you remember the analogy I made about the Down syndrome kid? It's like, if he's telling me I don't get it, like he doesn't get it, he's still going to go through the door. I don't give a shit. Of course you are. You're retarded. Anyway, let's carry on. Alphonse rides again, says, you are correct on who the real enemy is. The problem is that the outcome of elite policy is so horrible that it's easy for normal people to focus on that rather than the underlying causes. Or to put it bluntly, if your daughter has been attacked by Pakistani gangs, convincing them that the real enemy is Zionists is a hard sell. There's also over 1,000 years of history of enmity between the Muslims and the Christians, including war, pillaging, and enslavement, for the counter-jihad side to point to in their emotional appeals. What we need for now is to ride the tiger, organize a way for electoral politics, and allow the current dialectic to play itself out. Yeah, what I would say, though, on the, there's 1,000 years of material. If you read old racists, I'll just put it that way, or just writers from the 19th century or the 18th century or the 17th or the 16th or the 15th, or even the, even going further back into the actual period of the Crusades themselves, there's not a kind of like the right, the, it wasn't one of like burning hatred. The, you know, when the Mahometan comes up in the writings of, let's say, Carlyle or Gobineau or, you know, any of the old writers, okay, any of them, and there are lots more, it's never one of like searing hatred or enmity in that respect, okay? Now, the same may not be true the other way when you look at the other group. Okay, when you look at 1,000 years of writings on those guys, I would say the same is not true. So that's what I'd say to that point. Autistic Robot Wizard says, Donald, I need you to do something for me. I need you to get to let me go. You have to let me go. In another life, maybe it all worked out. Maybe we all got mass deportations and reindustrialization, and decline was slowed or even reversed. Maybe in that life you did all the things you promised you would. But we got this one instead. You were my leader, my hope, and now bitter disappointment. And you'll always be my favorite what if. My favorite what could have been. Goodbye, Donald. That was by Autistic Robot Wizard, who wrote a beautiful elegy. You could say a poem, waving goodbye to the Donald Trump that could have been, rather than the one that was not, which is the one that we got. On the last deepest law, Krunkle says, if you want another kooky Asian professor who's actually a professor, unlike Professor Yang, I recommend Professor Hamamoto. He's more tuned in than Yang and just as nutty, if not more, as he brings American Gothic literature, cultural forensics, and Californian Asian American experience to the table. He also frequently criticizes Yang, as well as other pop-up pundits, as he dubs them. His latest video about Alex Jones was a good listen, and apparently the professor was a guest on one of Alex's shows. Okay, I will. That's Professor Hamamoto. I'll check him out. Let's have a look at him. Let's have a look at Professor Hamamoto. Of course, my pro wrestling brain is thinking, hold on, Professor Yang, Professor Hamamoto. They need to be a tag team. The Orient Express, we need to bring them back. Put Mr. Fuji with them. Anyway, okay. I've got Professor Yamamoto here. Hamamoto. All right, I'll have a look at him. I'll give him a sub. How about that? I'll give him a sub. That will remind me to listen to him. Utes 4321 says, I have never bought Brian's line. This is on the Douglas McGregor video from earlier on. He says, mainly because I never bought his cherry picking and misrepresentation of policy paper. A simple chat GPT search of Rand Corporation policy papers advocating for better relations with Russia will turn up dozens of articles. Policy papers are assessments of consequences of an implementation of particular policies should decision makers decide to implement them. They are not scripture that once written must be done, which seems to be Brian's take. Yeah, I would agree that that is probably a weakness of Brian's method. No, I'm not. Grim from the Red Hood says, look up Razor from B07. Oh, I see. Razor Fist has been put in that game. All right, that makes a lot more sense. I'm not going to look him up, though. Joe Mick says, Nick criticizes Tucker for his support for J.D. Vance. Okay, fair enough, okay. And no, I'm not. Grim from the Red Hood says, the right is a tax right off. Fantastic. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Pick up a course from the academic agency. But most importantly of all, get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.